Jesus, the God, invites us here to his triumphal feast.
Welcome to the Triumphal Feast Podcast, a ministry of Elder Bryce Lawrence, speaking to you from Brentwood Hills Primitive Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas.
Sometimes we're faced with those decisions. Daniel was, Shadrach, Meshach, they had more to lose than any of us. Daniel is basically the vice president of all of Babylon. And he doesn't bow down. He doesn't step away from the God that had blessed him. We can function in society without doing everything that society does. Verses 8 through 12, we find record of what I call the tattling Babylonians. What I think this is the sorcerers and magicians that were jealous of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They spy out and they see whether these guys that took the jobs that they were supposed to get. You know, Daniel is second in command. These other three, they're governors. That's the positions that we ought to have. And when they play the music, they're not coming down and bowing down before Nebuchadnezzar's idol. And so they go and tell him. They say, King, you got some folks that don't want to come to your new church. They don't want to come and worship like you've told them to. So once again, Nebuchadnezzar's mad. He calls to have these men brought to him. I'm going to read just the last portion of what the king says to him. This is recorded in Daniel 3, verse 15. Now, if you be ready that at what time of year, time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Then notice what he says here. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? In your King James Bible, that word God there's got a big G on it, doesn't it? It's the same word that he used when he called him a God of little g gods. Nebuchadnezzar says, who is this all-powerful God that can deliver you out of my hands? Blockhead. Man's an idiot. When we get so filled with ourselves, we're not going to think straight. And honestly, folks, when there's world leaders that think they can dominate the world, they think they can. They think they have the power. Even though this man saw this God of gods and declared it himself, he said, who is he that can deliver you out of my hands? I'm more powerful than he is. Nebuchadnezzar's not learning his lesson. He says, you three fellows better bow down or you're dead. Let's pick up the account in verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We use the term careful today differently than it was used in the 17th century. Careful today means we're not going about it in a haphazard, crazy way. Careful, when the King James Bible was translated, meant exactly what it says, full of care, meaning worrying. Okay? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, Nebuchadnezzar, we're not worried about how we're going to answer you. You know what? If you get in a pattern of always telling the truth and always standing on the truth of God, then when it comes time that your life is on the line, you're not going to be worried about what you ought to say. Well, is this one of those times that I ought to keep speaking the Word of God, or should I start lying now? No. These guys, time after time after time, had practiced standing in the trustworthiness of God, and they don't back away from it now. They're not careful. They're not worried about it. And they said, oh, King, here's what we're going to say. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace. First of all, Nebuchadnezzar brought these men before him as servants. But what do they say? Our God, whom we serve. Meaning, Nebuchadnezzar, we may be serving you, but the only reason we are is because we're serving God. Basically, they're telling him, you're asking us to do something that would violate our service to God. That's the principle on which you stand up. Not pride, not on what other people think about you. The time that you stand up and you stop doing what the world says, you stop doing what the boss says, it's not when you don't like it, it's when it's contrary to your service to God, then you must stand at that time. At the other times, I don't think the Lord will back you because that's personal. You don't like the boss. Was he as bad as Nebuchadnezzar? Every time he got mad, he wanted to kill everybody around him? I've had a couple of bosses like that, but I never had any actually try to carry it out. But they say, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. Did they know what was going to happen next? I think they're standing there right next to the furnace when this is happening. That the threat is right there. And they don't know. They say God is able to deliver us from this fire. But they didn't know. But we do know this. We are going to be delivered from you. Regardless of what happens in the next 5 minutes, O King, you will no longer have power over us. That's faith, folks. That's faith. Because they knew that they could be delivered from Nebuchadnezzar by death. By dying, they're no longer under the king's hand. Brethren, that is faith. That is faith. Knowing that you don't know what's going to happen and continuing to stand fast on the word of God, brethren, that is faith. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King. You know, that's even a key right there. We don't know whether he's going to deliver us from the fire. We know he's able. But we know he'll deliver us out of it. But then they say, even if he's not going to deliver us, we know he will. But even if he was not going to deliver us from thine hand, but if not, be it known unto thee, O King. Brethren, that is the full work of faithfulness in the life of a child of God. That they can say, even if God's not going to deliver me, I know this is the right thing to do. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. We will not worship your God, your way. Whatever God chooses to do is right. But either way, anyway, to put it in modern times, we like our old Baptist way. Simple. Not full of the world. Not the worshiping of men. Even though the world will ridicule us. We're going to keep doing it our way. Now we're back to where we started. Nebuchadnezzar is in his fury. So he says, heat it up 7 times. You know, that's not what it says. It says, heat the furnace one seven times more than it is wont to be heated. Okay? They had it set at a certain temperature. They know the full power of that furnace. They know what's going to make that furnace stop working and probably explode. That's what it's want. And he says, go seven times that. You're going to bow down now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Look at the foolishness of this blockhead. You're going to burn us in a fire, or you're going to burn us in a fire that's seven times hotter. We're still dead. What's the difference? Brethren, it's not the size of the danger out there. Don't let it be that you stand strong and then, well, the danger's going to get even worse. Oh, if you're going to die before, you're going to die now. Keep standing. We find that it's so hot that the guys that were trying to throw them in the fire leaped out of the furnace and consumed them. That's pretty hot. Verse 23, it says, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. They were fully clothed, had on everything, and they bound them up and they threw them in there, lying down. King won. At least that's what he thinks. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished. That means astonished. Okay? Meaning he did not understand what he was seeing. It was so amazing to him. And rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. They threw three men bound to burn, lying on their backs or on their faces. But the next eye open that Nebuchadnezzar has toward the furnace, he sees four men walking around, loose, not hurt. And the fourth one, he didn't throw in there. And this king, who said, who is the God that shall deliver you out of my hands, sees that God. Sees the Son of God. Brethren, Nebuchadnezzar saw Jesus Christ walking in there with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. My dad told me a story several years ago. They'd come up on a farm. The house was burning down. The dad was outside and realized his children were still in the burning house. And if he'd gone in, it would have killed him too. Granddaddy grabbed a hold of him and quoted this to him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't know what was going to happen. But they did know they were going to get to walk with God. Brethren, our trials may consume us. But if we stand on the promises of God, we're not consumed alone. We're delivered through them. Possibly not from them. These guys were. And in the midst of the fire, the worst thing that could possibly happen to them, they're standing there with the Savior, the Redeemer of the elect of God. And Nebuchadnezzar sees it. He tells them to come out. And he declares again that everyone should worship this God, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And if you don't, you're going to die. The guy's still, his rage is still there. And if you've read the book of Daniel, you know he still hadn't learned his lesson. We find his own account of not learning his lesson and growing eagle's feathers and eating the grass of the field later on. It takes him a while. He says, there's no other God that can deliver after this sort. He's right. But he sees that power and he still doesn't get it. You know, we shake our heads at a man like that, that could see that much, and we say, and he just still doesn't get it. You know, the next time we feel tempted to not go to church because it just doesn't feel that good that day, Nebuchadnezzar shaking his head at you. We've seen so much more. We've been delivered. At this point, Nebuchadnezzar hasn't been delivered by the Lord. We've been delivered, and yet we so easily turn away. So what do we learn about standing up in a bow-down world? We can learn from Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that it is necessary sometimes to learn the things of this world in order to function in it. If your children are in public school, they need to learn the theory of evolution in order to pass biology. That doesn't mean they have to believe it. They need to learn it as a theory and pass the test. The knowledge is necessary. The Apostle Paul was very knowledgeable, not only in the religion of the Jews, but we find when he's standing on Mars Hill that he quotes heathen poets. In him we live and move and have our being. He made that scripture. By the way, standing on Mars Hill, you know what that means? They were questioning him while he's standing on the lip of about a 50-foot drop. There's all this worship stuff going on there on Mars Hill, but the people that didn't go along with it, they tossed him off. Paul stood on the Word of God. Paul had knowledge of the Gentile ways so that he could use it. It is necessary sometimes to learn the things of this world in order to function in it, but we don't need all of its fancy stuff. We don't need the trappings that go along with it. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fattened up on horse feed. Not the fancy things of the world. Those things draw us away from God. We need to learn sometimes skills in order to perform a job. Those skills are not evil, and we perform the job in a way that is honoring to the Lord, but sometimes our company will say, well, you've got to do things differently. You may have a boss that says, I've got a magnet underneath the weight. You knew how to run that scale, Brother Mel. And you knew how the way he wanted it run, and you said you couldn't do it. Sometimes we're faced with those decisions. Daniel was, Shadrach, Meshach, they had more to lose than any of us. Daniel is basically the vice president of all of Babylon. And he doesn't bow down. He doesn't step away from the God that had blessed him. We can function in society without doing everything that society does. We don't have to have the nicest cars. We don't have to have the nicest house. You know, there was a fellow, many of you probably know him, Brother Cecil Farr. Remember him, Brother Tim? Brother Cecil Farr used to come to church all the time, and I thought he was a pauper. I thought he was a poor man. Go over to his house, It's an old house. It's well taken care of, but it's an old house and it's small. Like this guy's got nothing. He's just a poor fella. Well, Brother Cecil one day had a car wreck. I think he was probably in his 90s at the time. Okay. He had a car wreck. Didn't hurt anybody, didn't hurt himself, tore up the car. But his kids decided that he didn't need to drive anymore. So they came over to his house, they got all his car keys, and they took his car away. Brother Cecil was mad. He wanted to drive. He was an independent man. So he called a cab. But before he called the cab, he went to his bedroom, pulled out a roll of $30,000, went down to Alderson Cadillac and bought himself a new car and drove it home. He didn't lavish himself with the things of this world and was able to take care of his needs. And as I found out, many people have talked to me about him. He took care of the needs of many other people throughout his life. He took care of my grandfather a few times. The trappings of society we don't need. We can live in this world, but not be of this world. That's basically what Jesus prays before he dies. We can function without all of that stuff. We need to be different than this world. I think the conclusions are these. That we need to stand up in a bow down world. In a world where everyone lies, tell the truth. In a world where everyone forsakes morality and living in sin and fornication, be pure. In a world where marriages fail after time after time after time, work yours out. Be different. In a world where everyone makes excuses, make improvements. In a world where everyone complains, be a blessing. In a world where everyone attacks, show love. In a world where everyone skips church, be there and be early. In a world where everyone bows down, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand.
Victorious God, what can we?
We hope this edition of Triumphal Feast has been a blessing to you. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or visit our home church website at bhpbc.org.